Hey, Harbor family, so good to see you. Hope you had a great week. And if you got your Bible, it's time to grab that, pull it out, and turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. That's where we're going to be today. 2 Kings 5, if you don't have a Bible, you can grab one of those hardback Bibles around you. It's page 321 in those black hardback Bibles. And we're in the last few weeks of our series on the life of Elijah and Elisha. And I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I've just been loving this series. Have you guys loved being a part of the life of Elijah and Elisha over the last couple of months? Because it has just been such a great reminder to me of how our God, Yahweh God, is ultimate. How he's ultimate over every other God that we serve. And whether we know it or not, whether we admit it or not, we all serve a lot of different gods. But Yahweh God is ultimate. And we're going to see today that our ultimate God is the ultimate healer. We're gonna see him perform miraculous healing today. We're gonna see how he wants to perform miraculous healing in our lives today. Each one of our lives here, watching online, sitting downstairs, God wants to perform a miraculous work of healing in your life today. I don't know when the last time was when you really asked God for healing, when you really needed healing. Like, when was the last time you were really, really, really sick? For me, I don't get sick very often. And when I do, I can usually just power through it. Just pound some like emergency, the powder that fizzes up in the water, pound some zinc, and I can just get through it. That works every time, except for one time. It was January 2020. Maybe that sets off a little alarm bell in your mind. It was January 2020, and I woke up on a Wednesday morning, and I just could not lift my head out of bed. I just felt terrible. So I'm like, well, I gotta perform a wedding on Friday, and then I gotta preach on Sunday. I gotta make it through this thing. So I pounded some emergency, pounded some zinc, and I'm like, I got this. Except on Thursday morning, I didn't got that, because I woke up even worse. I could barely move. And I was supposed to go to the rehearsal dinner for the wedding that night, so I had to like use every fiber of my being to type out a text to the couple who's here in church today and be like, hey, I'm so sorry, I can't make the rehearsal dinner, but I know I'll be better tomorrow. We got this. We'll do this wedding. No problem. Except the problem was on Friday morning, I woke up even worse. I couldn't breathe. Yeah, there's where the alarm bells just start going off. I couldn't smell. I couldn't eat. I couldn't move. And so I had to use every fiber of my being to type out a text to another pastor and be like, bro, I'm supposed to do a wedding tonight. I can't get out of bed. Could you do the wedding? I already wrote everything. There's a whole script. It's got the vows, the stories, the jokes, everything. You just got to show up. And praise God, he was available and he could read a script. And so he went and he did a fantastic job at the wedding. He told all the heartwarming stories about this couple that it made everybody cry. My stories, all right? He told all the funny jokes about the proposal, my jokes. And everybody loved it while I was laying alone in a dark room at home. And it was the first time in my life that I felt completely helpless. Completely and utterly helpless. Serious sickness, it'll do that to you. I mean, we like to think we're in control, but sometimes God has to put us into a place where we realize, oh, I have no control. And we have to put our lives into the sovereign hands and the sovereign control of Yahweh God. We have to put our lives into his sovereign grace and into his compassionate healing. I mean, it's one of his names, Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. And that's what we're gonna see today. We're gonna see him miraculously heal a man, and we're gonna see him miraculously heal some people here today. So let's dive in to 2 Kings chapter 5. We're gonna start right at the beginning, verse 1. Here we go. It says, there's this guy named Naaman. Technically, you pronounce it Naaman, but that's a little awkward. So we're just gonna call him Naaman. Naaman, commander of the army for the king of Aram, which was a nation just to the north of Israel that had invaded Israel repeatedly. He was a man important to his master and highly regarded because through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. Victory over who? Over Israel. They kept beating Israel. And the man was a valiant warrior, but he had a skin disease. Or in older translations, leprosy, because that's what we're talking about. This is leprosy. And all through history, leprosy has always been one of the most feared diseases in the world. People are more scared of that than anything else. I mean, it's just in the last few decades that medicine has been available all around the world that can cure leprosy, or as we'd call it today, Hansen's disease. Up until the last few decades, leprosy was a death sentence. There was no cure. And all through history, people have feared it because of that. I used to think that if you got leprosy, that you would just catch it and then all your fingers and toes would start falling off. But then I got to visit some leprosy villages in China and Brazil, and I discovered that's not how leprosy works. First, it starts attacking your skin, like it's attacking this guy's skin. You get all patchy all over. But then it starts attacking your nervous system. And so pretty soon you can't feel anything in your hands, in your feet. And so you might just stub your toe really bad one day and not notice it, and then it gets infected, and then it needs to be amputated. Or you might be slicing onions for dinner and not notice that you just sliced your finger off because you don't even feel it. Or you might be wearing shoes that are just like one size too small, and over time you just rub a toe right off because you just don't even feel it. That's how leprosy works. It's not a painful disease, but that's why people have always been so scared of leprosy. Eventually, it'll attack your eyes and make you blind. Eventually, you'll lose all your teeth, and it won't hurt very much, but over time, you'll start looking worse and worse. Because it's attacking your skin, rotting your skin, over time, you'll start smelling worse and worse. That's why it's such a feared disease, because a disease like cancer, you can't really see that most of the time, but a disease like leprosy, you can see it immediately. You can smell it immediately. Lepers look ugly, they smell dirty, and so every society has made people who contract leprosy into outcasts. If your grandma gets leprosy, I'll kick her out of the house. She's gone. If your 8-year-old girl gets leprosy, she's gone. I met a girl in China who had that story. At 8 years old, her parents kicked her out of the house, told her, never come back. You're an outcast. And that is the kind of life that this guy Naaman has to look forward to. He's going to spend the rest of his life as an outcast. Doesn't matter what his status was before this, now everybody's going to shun him. He's going to have to wear torn clothes. That was the requirement, so that everybody can see his disease. He's going to have to shout out, unclean, unclean, wherever he goes, so everybody gets warning that he's coming through town. And there's nothing he can do about it. There's nothing he can do about his fate. It's incurable. And family, every single one of us is like Naaman in some way. Every one of us. I mean, we live in a fallen world full of physical diseases, emotional diseases, mental diseases, relational diseases, spiritual diseases. We've all got some kind of disease, all of us. Maybe for you, it is a physical disease, a physical condition that the doctors can't figure out. Maybe it's a need that you can't overcome with your kids, with your spouse. Maybe it's a habit that's destroying you. Maybe it's some fear that's paralyzing you. Maybe it's some low-level depression that's just kind of deadening you. We're all dealing with some kind of disease. And so that's the first thing we need to understand. Number one, you need healing. Every one of us here, we need healing. Now, I know for a lot of us, that's not something we like to admit. Maybe you've been trying to deal with it on your own. You're like Naaman, this valiant warrior. He's valiant. Okay, he could take down 100 warriors on the battlefield, but he can't take down leprosy. Leprosy is guaranteed to take him down. There's only dark clouds of despair ahead on the path he's walking down, until God sovereignly breaks through with this little ray of hope. Look what it says in verse 2. Aram had gone on raids. They'd brought back from the land of Israel a young girl who served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." What an incredible ray of grace right here. Because this girl, little girl, she was stolen from Israel, stolen from her parents in Israel. brought as a slave back to the land of Aram. And she's just suffered unspeakable things along the way. Most of it is because of this guy, Naaman. But now she still wants to bless Naaman. Amazing. That is the grace of God right there. Verse 4, so Naaman went and he told his master, the king, what the girl from the land of Israel had said. Therefore, the king of Aram said, go and I'll send a letter with you to the king of Israel. And so he went and took with him 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. That right there, that is an enormous amount of money. All of that gold and silver, scholars say, one person wouldn't be able to accumulate that much money. Basically, that would be a quarter of the wealth of the entire kingdom of Aram. And on top of that, Naaman's carrying 10 sets of clothing to give as a gift. Maybe that sounds a little weird to you. It did to me. So when I did a little digging, I found out, oh, this is royal clothing that he's bringing from the king. These are designer fits from France and Italy. That's what he's carrying as a gift. This guy, he's got everything. How did he get all of this? Apparently, the whole kingdom is behind him. So he's got money and power and connections, and it is all coming with him to Israel. This guy is going to seize his healing. Verse 6, he brought the letter to the king of Israel, the letter from the king of Aram, the more powerful nation. And he read, when this letter comes to you, note that I have sent you my servant Naaman for you to cure him of his skin disease. Interesting. The little girl told him to go to the prophet, and instead he goes straight to the king with a letter of reference from the more powerful king, along with a whole boatload of money. Okay, this guy is going to manifest his own healing. But verse 7, when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes. He asked, am I God, killing and giving life, that this man expects me to cure a man of his skin disease? Recognize that he is only picking a fight with me. Yet he thinks that the kingdom of Aram is messing with him, that they're asking him for a miracle he knows he can't do, and that's going to give them another reason to invade Israel again. Well, the king of Israel doesn't want any part of that. So verse 8, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. Why have you torn your clothes? Have him come to me and he'll know there's a prophet in Israel. I love it. Elisha can see there's a purpose for Naaman's sickness. God gave it to him so that he would come to Israel and meet with the prophet Elijah and then come to meet the living God. Elisha can see the whole purpose here. So verse 9, Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. He's bringing his whole entourage to Elisha's little hut. So just imagine that. Picture that in your mind. Picture like the president's entourage with motorcades, Mercedes, Escalades, Humvees, helicopters, all rolling down your street and parking in front of your house. Imagine that. Now, imagine the president stepping out of his big bulletproof Escalade, walking up to your front door and knocking on your door. How would you respond in that moment? Here's how Elisha responds. Verse 10, it says, Elisha sent him a messenger. Elisha doesn't even come to the door to greet this guy. He doesn't even come. And it's a small little hut. So Naaman can probably look and see Elisha sitting there on his sofa watching TV right there. He can see he's there, but there's a Dodger game on and Shohei's pitching. And so it says in verse 10, Elisha sent him a messenger who said, go wash 7 times in the Jordan and your skin will be restored and you will be clean. He's going, hey, I'm so sorry, but the prophet Elisha is unavailable at the moment. He's been previously engaged. He's not going to be able to provide healing services this morning, but he asked me to tell you to go and walk just a little ways. Well, actually, it's about 20 miles, but it's to the River Jordan. Well, actually, it's more like a creek, and it's kind of like a little muddy creek, but he's asking you to go wash in that. So you're going to have to strip down to your bivadis and just kind of lay down in the muddy water and just do that 7 times and then you'll be healed. You can imagine Naaman responding to that. He is furious because nobody has ever said no to him before, right? He asked the king of Aram for a quarter of the wealth of the kingdom and the king said yes. But now he's come to this little armpit of a country, Israel, and he's been shot down twice. And so you can understand why it says in verse 11, Naaman got angry. He got angry and he left. He's like, man, I brought the whole imperial army and a quarter of the wealth of the kingdom. I came to seize my healing and you're telling me to just go wash? Just go wash 7 times? What, with Old Spice body wash? Like, what am I doing here? Any fool could do that. And that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. Healing, it isn't just for the strong and the powerful. It's not something you can do for yourself. It's something you can only receive by God's grace. Only by his grace. Because you can't heal yourself. You can't heal yourself. Well, Naaman's never been in a position where he needed grace. And that's why it says in verse 11, Naaman got angry and left, saying, I was telling myself, he'll surely come out, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the place and cure the skin disease. Aren't Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be clean? He's talking about two big rivers in Syria. And he's going, hey, if I'm going to be healed, it's going to be in a mighty, majestic river. Not in the muddy little Jordan River. No, I'm not doing that. That's why it says he turned and he left in a rage. Because he wants to do things his own way. He wants to use his wealth to get healed. That's why he brought all the gold and silver. But his money isn't going to heal him. He wants to use his status to get healed. That's why he went to the king, not to the lowly prophet. But his status won't heal him. He wants to use his power to get healed. That's why he brought along the entourage of soldiers and horses and chariots, but his power isn't going to heal him. He's even trying to use his wisdom to heal him, trying to go to a mighty river for healing, not the little dinky Jordan River. But his wisdom isn't going to heal him either. Because we can't heal ourselves, family. We can't heal ourselves. But Naaman still doesn't get it. And so it says in verse 13, his servants approached and said to him, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more should you do it when he only tells you, wash and be clean? You know what he's saying? Hey, if Elisha would have told you to go like hike up to the Makavu lighthouse and dive off the 100-foot cliff into the ocean and then like pry a tooth off a 10-foot tiger shark, if he would have asked you to do all that, you would have done it. You would be down for all that. But he's just asking you to go and wash. So what do you got to lose? So finally, Naaman gives in. Verse 14, Naaman went down and he dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times according to the command of the man of God. And then his skin was restored, became like the skin of a small boy and he was clean. Amazing. And then Naaman and his whole company went back to the man of God, stood before him and declared, I know there's no God in the whole world except in Israel. Oh, that's even more amazing. You remember what Elisha said? God gave him this disease so he'll know there's a prophet in Israel, so he'll come to know the one true God of Israel. Family, that's exactly what happened. God healed him of his physical disease, and then through that, he healed him of his spiritual disease. Because here's what you need to know about healing. Number 3, God heals holistically. He heals holistically. He doesn't just want to heal you physically. He wants to heal you emotionally and relationally and spiritually. He wants to heal all of you. And you know that. You know that. Think about it. When you get really sick, what do? You get really religious, right? You're like, Lord, if you'll just heal me, I'll stop swearing so much. I'll read my Bible every day. I'll be a missionary in Zimbabwe. If you heal me, Lord, I'll do that. Why do we do that? Because we're like Naaman. We're all like Naaman. We all want to earn our healing instead of allowing God to grace us with healing. Watch how Naaman tries to earn his healing. Verse 15. He says, I know there's no God in the whole world except in Israel. And so therefore, please accept a gift from your servant. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives in whose presence I stand, I will not accept it. Naaman urged him to accept it, but he refused. Elisha is a way better man than me. I'll tell you that right now. Because if you show up to church with 750 pounds of silver and 150 pounds of gold, and you're like, hey, I want to give this, but it won't fit in the offering box. I'm not sure what to do with this. And oh, by the way, I've got 10 outfits for you, Pastor Matt. I've got 10 Sig Zane Aloha shirts for you. If you show up and say that, I'm not going to refuse that. I'll guarantee it right now. But Elisha, he is way more mature than me. He can see what's really going on under the surface. He can see that Naaman's still trying to buy his healing, still trying to earn his healing. He still doesn't want to receive God's grace. So Elisha keeps calling him on it. And he finally breaks through. Verse 17, Naaman responded, if not, please let your servant be given as much soil as a pair of mules can carry. It's kind of a strange request. Two mules of soil, for your servant will no longer offer a burnt offering or a sacrifice to any other God but the Lord. However, in a particular matter, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master, the king of Aram, goes into the temple of Ramon to bow and worship while he is leaning on my arm and I have to bow in the temple of Ramon, when I bow in the temple of Ramon, may the Lord pardon your servant in this matter. And so Elisha said to him, go in peace. What's going on here? Apparently, Naaman is going straight back to Aram, straight back to his old job. He's basically like the minister of defense, secretary of defense for Aram. And so he's going to have to go to all these ceremonies with the king. He's going to have to go to pagan temples and bow down to the gods of Aram with the king. But he doesn't want to do that. He worships the one true God of Israel. So here's what he's going to do. He's going to take this soil that he's brought back with him from Israel, and he's going to have servants spread it on the ground at the temple. So when he bows down, he's not bowing down to the gods of Aram. He's bowing down to the one true God, the God of Israel. And as he does that, everybody around will know it. And hopefully everybody around will also come to bow down to the one true God of Israel. How amazingly creative this guy is. I love it. All of us can come up with creative ways of making God known just like that. He's going to spread a little bit of dirt on the ground to spread the gospel. And family, what we're seeing here is number four. That God heals for a purpose, for a big purpose. He doesn't just heal you just to heal. You understand that? He heals to bring total transformation. God heals to change the trajectory of your life, to radically change the target that you're aiming for in life. That's why he heals. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to change the everyday details of your life. Naaman, he's not really changing a thing that much. It's not like he's going to stay in Israel and become a homeless prophet like Elisha. It's not like he's going to go be a missionary in Zimbabwe. He's going to go straight back to his regular job and do everything he's done before every single day, except tweak it just a little bit. He's going to spread a little dirt on the ground as a non-threatening way to spread the good news of the grace of God. The grace of God that healed his skin and the grace of God that healed his sin. That's what the leprosy was pointing towards. All through the Bible, God has used the disease of leprosy as a picture of the disease of sin. It's about the most striking picture that you can get, because family, your sin, it is just like leprosy. Just like it. It contaminates your whole body, your whole life. It turns you into an outcast from God. It's ugly, it's incurable, and it's contagious. You can spread that. But God can heal that through his grace. God can heal it, family. He took the ugliness of your sin, your leprosy, on himself at the cross. Like it says in Isaiah 52, many were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured that he did not look like a man. At the cross, Jesus took your leprosy on himself. He took the dirtiness of your sin, and he made you clean. He took the ugliness of your sin, and he made you beautiful. He transformed your life just like he transformed Naaman's life. Jesus is the ultimate healer. He'll heal you from physical disease and emotional pain, from relational anxiety, from spiritual doubt. He'll give you a whole new purpose in life. And there's somebody in the Harbor Ohana who's experienced that really powerfully. The transforming work of God, the healing work of God. There's someone who got to share it with the world, just like Naaman did. Let's watch the story of Kelly Elms.
My name is Kelly Elms, and in 2010, I was living the dream. I was playing softball at the University of Hawaii, and we were the best softball team in UH history. We broke the home run record as a team. We beat the number one team in the nation that ultimately got us to the Women's College World Series. Personally, I did really well. I hit 30 home runs that season, which was the most in the whole nation. We actually got nominated for an ESPY. It was surreal. But during all of that, I was starting to feel pain at the base of my throat.
Rainbow Wahine All-American softball player Kelly Majo has cancer, had her thyroid removed back in July.
Papillary carcinoma on my thyroid gland. I was confused. Why, God? Why was this happening? What did I do wrong? My now husband, Josh, and I were reading through John 9, and in John 9, Jesus and his disciples walk past a man that was born blind, and his disciples ask him, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus answers, neither. This happened so that the work of God would be displayed in his life. And that verse really sticks with me. Maybe this was happening because he was going to display his own power. I ended up having a press conference to let everybody know my diagnosis. I was also able to let everybody know that God was sustaining me. The next day, on the front page of the sports section, is my picture next to the headline, God thinks I can handle this. Right there in bold letters, God's name was glorified. And I got to be a part of that story. And so a lot of times in our life, we go through difficult things, difficult struggles. Just like through my cancer story, I've realized that God puts these trials in our life so that he may be glorified. And it's not just physical healing. God is the ultimate healer. He heals us from pain, from fear, from doubt. And now every part of my journey, I point back towards him.
Amen. I love how she expressed that God is the ultimate healer. Jesus, he is the ultimate healer. He'll heal physical disease. He'll heal scars and pain from the past. He'll heal doubt and anxiety about the future. He'll heal destructive habits and sin. And so my question for you today, family, is what is it that you need to be healed of today? What is it that you need to be healed of today? We all need to be healed of something, and we can't heal ourselves. But God wants to heal you holistically. He wants to heal you for a purpose. So what is it that God needs to heal you of today? Maybe you've got a physical condition that the doctors can't figure out. Maybe it's some need in your family that hasn't been met. Maybe it's a habit that's destroying you. Maybe it's a fear that's paralyzing you. Maybe it's some kind of depression that is just deadening you. What is it that you need to be healed of today? Well, God wants to accomplish that today. And so after the service, I want to invite you to come forward. There will be a team of men and women ready to pray with you, ready to believe in faith that God will heal you. After the service, I want to invite you to come forward and receive that prayer, receive that healing. Maybe you're a little like Naaman. Maybe you want to try and figure it out on your own. Maybe you're trying to use money to buy healing. Maybe you're trying to use connections to manipulate your way into healing. Maybe you're just trying to use your own strength and willpower to just thug it out and get through it. You don't need healing. Maybe you're trying to swim in the mighty rivers of Assyria, but God's calling you to come and dip in the muddy River Jordan. Whatever it is, God is calling each one of us to be healed today. And in his grace and love and power, he will accomplish it. Let's pray together. Father, each one of us comes here today, just like Naaman. We need to be healed. And we can't heal ourselves. But thank you for this incredible reminder that you want to heal. You desire to heal. It's in your name. You want to heal us holistically. You want to heal us for a purpose. You want to transform our lives. Every part of our lives. So I pray now for every single person sitting here in this room or downstairs or watching online, help us to be like Naaman, to overcome our self-reliance and independence, self-sufficiency, and to humbly rely on the grace of Jesus for the healing we so desperately need. We pray all of this in the name and power of Jesus. Amen.